There's just so many gold related juniors that are getting killed here at $2,500 gold. And part of the reason, Andy, is
John Fennick, what's going on?
Hey, not much, Andy.
It's good to see you. I was texting back and forth with you, and you were overseas visiting clients and trying to get a pulse of things. You're a busy guy. What was the pulse on everything over there?
Well, European investors are, I think, more of a watch than act group sometimes when it comes to mining. Not always, but I've spoken in London and Zurich in the last couple of years. And you know, I think you get kind of like, yeah, think about it. That's a compelling idea, but they don't act right away. So I think there's more of a sense of urgency this year than I've seen in the last 2 years, which is positive. I can say from the U.S. clients I have, there's definitely like a sense that we've turned the corner in certain things like gold and uranium. And, you know, silver is just frustrating. It continues to frustrate, but that is an opportunity, right? Because silver is going to be along for the ride, as you and I have talked about in the past. And if you just look at points in history where we had the pandemic, right, it sold off but bounced huge in 2020. Then February 2022, the Russia invasion, it bounced huge in March and April. And so like it does respond. It's just not responding as much as I think the average investor would like. So,
got it. Well, you're headlining some events. And did you headline any events over there or?
No, I was just seeing clients, but this fall we have a lot of speaking engagements. I'll be attending Beaver Creek September 10th through the 13th in Colorado if anyone wants to see me there. But then from there, I'm on to Stockholm to speak at that event. Then I'm on to my own event in October in Florida, where I'll be speaking October 20 through 22. And then on to Zurich, London, Zurich, speaking at all three of those in November. So yeah, our event in Florida has been pretty cool. There aren't too many U.S. investment conferences that are really centered around networking and one-on-one meetings. You know, Beaver Creek does a really good job of the one-on-one aspect, but it's 4 days long, right? So it gets to be like a marathon to me sometimes when you're at 8,900 feet or whatever the altitude is. It gets to be at least on day one. But it's just a fantastic conference. It's just a little long for me. So what we're doing is we're going to have a two-day conference. It's going to start October 20th with a dinner and a formal formal dinner and a happy hour. And then on day two, we'll have one-on-one day from like 8 to 4:30, which is going to be just CEOs meeting with investors one-on-one in a quiet setting where they can ask questions. It's not just, you know, the company spewing information out over a 40-page deck. It's going to be more interactive because that's what I'd like to achieve here at this conference, right? Something where the client walks away saying, you know, I really learned a lot. And now I can implement those ideas that I learned into a buy-sell strategy, right? Like that's what it's all about is not only coming away with knowledge from these conferences, but then actually implementing those ideas, which I don't find happens all the time. And then on day three, Andy, we're going to have speakers from 8 to 1. And I've got some amazing speakers lined up. I've got Don Durrett from GoldStockData.com, who's been doing it, you know, gosh, 35, 40 years now in this sector. He's Larry Leppert's right-hand guy here in the States. And we also have Stephen Miller, who I just secured last week, who's been doing it 50 years, started in 1974 in the Chicago CBOE and just knows so much about the broad market as well as our sector, right? So it's not just a conference that's going to be focused on commodities only. We're going to be talking about things like the broad market, the Fed, the BRICS, things that will affect, you know, other people, other parts of people's portfolio.
Yeah, excellent. And by the way, for all of our listeners, I'll be there as well. So please, if you're attending, please grab me and say hello. So let's talk about what's going on right now here. The overall market's selling off. And we've said this before that August and September really, but specifically September is typically a tough month for stocks. What are your expectations now going through the rest of the month? And then we have the Fed meeting in a couple of weeks. So,
yeah. We've been saying on your show and every show since the summertime that I really thought that early September And since the September 10th debate has been secured, September 10th to be specific, we would start seeing some selling based on whatever happens in the debate, right? I mean, I don't think many of us had, if we were betting, that we would have seen a Trump-Biden situation. It was so one-sided. And I don't know that this one's going to be 100% one-sided. I think it'll be, you know, Kamala Harris's first opportunity to really go up against her candidate, her competitor, rather than just going to the DNC for a few days and talking. This is going to be, okay, what are your policies? How are you going to implement this? And let's see how she does. I am still of the thinking, Andy, that if we get a Kamala Harris win, ultimately, that would be very, very bullish for gold and silver, because it's just another unknown, right? It's like, at least we've had Trump for 4 years. We kind of know what Trump's about. Trump's very transparent. He doesn't pull any punches. I think the markets like that more. Wall Street likes certainty, right? You know this from doing it as long as you have. When you have an unknown like Harris Waltz, I mean, who knows what that combo looks like in the next 4 years? And so I think it's going to create a tremendous bid on gold and silver, because you're combining that uncertainty with a lower rate environment, right? So, and let's face it, Trump being a real estate guy, don't you think he wants lower rates? I mean, of course. So I think we win either way as gold and silver investors. I really do. And that's why I encourage people on days like today, you brought up the sell-off. I mean, silver was down 4% at one point. You have to buy these dips in a bull market framework. If we were at 22 silver, I wouldn't be saying that. But anything above 26 silver, you're in a bull market right now, and you've broken out to that $30 magical level and broke that like butter. So now you just have to worry about getting back to 30 plus at some point. And I think you're going to get there within the next 3 to 4 months. And I just said this on Kitco over the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. So where are you looking for value then? Is it just the usual suspects that you mentioned before? Are there any new players? And it's fine if there are the usual suspects, but where are you seeing really deep value here?
Well, I think taking gold stocks, and I'll just rattle up a few without going into too much detail. People will have my contact information in the show notes, so feel free to contact me if you want more information. There's just so many gold-related juniors that are getting killed here at $2,500 gold. And part of the reason, Andy, is that they're not producing. They are explorers in Next Gold, right? That used to be Treasury Metals. That stock is so much better off than it was a few months ago when it was flying by itself with 3 million ounces in Canada. Now it's got Frank Giustra's Fiore Group behind it. And Frank is a mining Hall of Famer, right? Like, I mean, he's going to bring new investors into that stock over time. They have a reinvigorated marketing approach. I think, you know, that's something that we would look at with anything with 3 million ounces or more. We get really excited about, you know, I mentioned on Kitco another one, Cartier Resources, ECRFF, you know, same thing, 2.5 to 3 million ounces, so, you know, 2.5 going to 3 million. In Canada, in a good jurisdiction, run by another person that I have respect for. So, you know, Jeremy Wyeth runs Next Gold, Philippe Cloutier runs Cartier. Both of these guys have done it for years and years and years, and they are shareholder-friendly CEOs, meaning they know how much work they put into both of their projects. They're not selling for pennies on the dollar. That's something, Andy, that we have to be looking at as investors, right? Because that Marathon Gold transaction last November, I mentioned it once on your show before, but that was a real wake-up call, even for someone like myself, to saying, hey, this was a newsletter favorite. How did this thing sell for pennies on the dollar? Like, that's not what we're in this sector for. We don't want, you know, a stock to decline immensely and then sell out for a 20 or 30% premium. It's 20 or 30% on a very low base, right? It's not a premium unless you were just lucky enough to get it at that price, and then, you know, you make a small amount of money. But I think doing the homework in the gold space right now with gold where it is makes a lot of sense. And combining that with an approach to have some producers, as you know, in your portfolio, right? And there's so many of those that we can get into at another time. But obviously, like Newmont, Agnico, Barrick. These are the kind of names you want to look at first that have the biggest, you know, market caps and also have, you know, decent margins.
Got it. Are you looking at anything else in the natural resource sector besides the precious metal stocks, if you like?
Yeah. So, I mean, copper is clearly not a precious metal. It's a scarce metal. And so we're really it's kind of a journey for copper investors, right? Over the last year and three quarters. I mean, last year was not a good journey last year. You know, when you have every analyst and their mother saying, you know, what a great year it's going to be. And then it turns out that you're like -1 to 3% or whatever it was for the entire year. You're like, okay, that didn't work. But then you look at, you know, I was at Beaver Creek speaking on copper last September. I kicked it off to a packed room and I said, look, Goldman Sachs says 15,000 a metric ton, literally less than 2 years from now. And we were trading at 7,000 something a metric ton. And I said, like, that's a double. Like, even if it's 100% on copper, like imagine what a Freeport or some of these copper producers do if copper was up 100%. And so that's sort of like the same thing that we've been telling people about silver is like silver is at 27 or 28, but you know, imagine if it does get to $50, let's just even think about 35, right? Something like very attainable. I think these companies don't go up 20% like the price of silver. They go up a lot more because of the leverage involved. And the same is true of copper stocks. So, you know, we've been buying juniors again, just to name a few, like I mentioned on Kitco this weekend, Alta Copper, ATCUF. We bought Surge recently for the first time, SRGXF. We bought NevGold, I guess in the spring in the T, like the teens are around 20. And now it's retraced all the way back to there. So again, you know, we want to see the chart hold here, but NAUFF looks interesting because they have a lot of ounces in the ground, not only with copper, but with gold, right? And that's another way to play copper. And finally, like Denarius is one I mentioned before, DNRSF, you know, they're a polymetallic deposit. What's intriguing about them is that they're going to go into production here within 6 to 12 months at both of their locations, which would mean like, you know, let's call it worst case scenario, end of next year, they're in production. And for a 32 cent stock, it's like, you know, the risk is there. Yes. But I mean, you're de-risked in the sense that these are good jurisdictions with producers right around them. So they're not going to have to reinvent the wheel.
Got it. Are you looking at any energy plays? And I specifically am thinking of uranium. And why I bring up uranium, it was such a darling. The last half of last year, if you would. And then it just really came back a little. I don't want to say it's completely back down to earth, but it's come back a lot more, if you would. And a lot of these stocks are attractive. Do you have any opinions on that?
I think the uranium sector is the junior sector in particular is very undervalued right now. If we were interviewing in January, I would have said the exact opposite. I would have said it was super overvalued.
Really?
Because the spot price had gotten to, I think, 109, and it made an astronomical move in spot last year, as you know, without the stocks really responding. And then in January, February, the stocks finally responded, but then people bought that move up and are now holding the bag, as we say in investing, right? And like, that's what we try as investors not to do, is chase anything. Like if you loved it chasing it in January or February, why wouldn't you buy here in August when no one wants the sector, right? Like that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, we have said on your show before, Forum FDCFF is drilling right now. They have a tremendous opportunity to, you know, impress investors here, I think between September and November when their assays come around. They're drilling in Canada in a really good jurisdiction with a solid team. Peninsula, PENMF is in Wyoming. You know, they're putting Lance back into production. They've got the money. They've had the news flow. If you look at July 31st, they're talking about all the metrics needed to get this thing back into production in the U.S. in a good jurisdiction this year, you know, like not 3 years from now. If you look at URA, which is sort of like the ETF that I use for the larger cap and mid cap producers, right? That would include Cameco, NextGen, all those kind of names in one basket, right? Like I do with gold at GDX. I can buy all those gold names in one ticket as opposed to buying, 30 different holdings, right? And so that's something that was down, I think, 5% today. It's like, those are the kind of days, if you're a uranium bull, you just got to buy these dips.
Yeah.
And so that's how we play it. We do the same kind of thing we do with gold. We'll buy the small stuff like Forum or Peninsula, and we'll temper that with larger cap producers and use a barbell approach.
Got it. So we have the Fed meeting in a couple of weeks here. And what do you think is going to happen? Obviously, the markets are betting on a cut here, but what do you think is, how's the market going to react and respond to a Fed cut? And is that part of the down move here, just because the expectation or the thought was that they might be cutting more?
Could be part of the sell-off. I think the expectations of the broad market participants are way out in left field. Like, the Fed is not going to have your back, at this cycle, like it has in previous cycles. That's the $64,000 question. And I hope I'm wrong. Believe me, I am positioned for that, going the other way. However, I'm also positioned in stuff that I'm confident will do well over time, such as like a Newmont. I don't care at $51 if Newmont goes to 70 this year or next year, because I can clip a really nice coupon and still see exponential growth for a large cap holding, that is, right? Like, 40% is a nice move on a large cap. But no, I think the Fed is showing a 61% probability as we speak of a 25 basis point cut, not the 50 that they were talking about in June, July, or at least the market was talking about in June, July, when things were making all-time highs, right? So I think it's just part of this is the market's coming to the reality that the Fed is not going to be cutting rates as quickly as they would like. The real question here, Andy, is what Powell says on September 18th, right? Like, what does he say in the presser to give us indication of what the direction of future cuts looks like?
Got it. Yeah, it should be interesting. It might be bloody from now until then. I would say bloody in the overall market. So, John, one more question again. Your event in October, I will put everything in the show notes, but just tell us again, where is it at and how can people register? And I'll put all the links in the show notes.
Sure. So you can register through our website, which is Topshelf and then a hyphen and then partners.com. Just go to the homepage, click investor registration, fill out the form, and we'll let you know if you are going to get in for free or if you'd have to pay to attend. I mean, all these conferences, Andy, like Beaver Creek and Rick Rule Symposium, they all have a fee attached to them. But for accredited investors and or people that are actually buying mining stocks, we're waiving the fee so that they can come for free. And it's going to be at the Four Seasons in Fort Lauderdale, right on the beachfront. It's a beautiful hotel. It's been around for about 2 years. It's the only five diamond resort in the metro area. So there's a ton of things to do. And, we're encouraging both companies and investors to bring their significant other or their family and have a good time while they're there.
All right. Excellent. Well, John, always a pleasure. Look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks, Andy.
All right. Have a good one.